Blog Talk Radio.
Satellite Guys Radio presents another edition of Satellite Nation with your hosts, Michael and Dave. We look forward to taking your calls. Do you have a comment for the show? Or maybe you have a question for us? If so, we look forward to your call at 877-SAT-GUYS. That is 877-728-4897. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Dave.
Good evening, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. This is Michael and Dave with Satellite Nation. As we're here every week at 8 p.m. What?
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize you weren't done. Go ahead, sorry.
8 p.m. every Wednesday night, or most Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Here talking about satellite-related anything. So, and Dave, what was your comment?
Oh, we got Mr. Scott here. Let's patch Mr. Scott in.
Hi, team in.
Mr. Scott.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay, I guess.
You sound kind of sick or so. Are you sick?
No. Just a little down. We got some sad news about one of our staff members just a little while ago, and it's been bugging me, and something I've been trying to teach my son a lesson about. And if I may... people know Jason Crandall, Jay Crandall. He's our DirecTV moderator. People with the DirecTV CE program know him well because he's the runner of the CE program at Satellite Guys with Don D. Fergie. Yesterday afternoon, his 13-year-old daughter was hit by a car and is currently in ICU with a concussion and broken collarbone and other injuries. She's currently having trouble waking up because of the concussion, and I understand it's a tough time for Jason and his family. So I'm asking everybody to keep them in their thoughts and prayers, and I'm actually going to be looking to do something for Jason if Satellite Guys members don't mind. We're going to be setting up a special forum, which cannot be seen by Jason, and we're going to collect some money for Jason because he doesn't have a lot of money. He works at Staples, and his insurance is not good. And looking at everything and everything I understand, the cause of the accident was actually his daughter's fault. She rode her bike out into traffic, so which makes them liable for the accident, I guess. So keep them in your thoughts and prayers, and I'll be setting something up for them tonight or tomorrow morning, so that way they can take care of some of their bills they're going to have from this, because they're going to need it.
Yeah, I seen it earlier, and I was kind of floored.
Yep, just sad about it, because my 10-year-old son, he always runs out in the street without looking.
Oh, jeez. Yep.
Always. And I'm always telling him, look before crossing. And,
yeah, I'm talking about 1,000 times. I always look at it still. It's just wander out in the street anyway. They don't even look at it.
And I know Jason and his wife, and they've been out to CES with us a couple times, and good people, and Jason's a hard-working guy. I think he works like 80 hours a week at Staples as a manager. And
I think he's a manager.
Yeah, so keep them in your thoughts and prayers. And also, while we're talking about people, and I'm not going to go into details, but Matt Gonzalez from the Dish Internet Response Team could also use your thoughts and prayers as well. He's going through some hard times, and we'll leave it at that. But he'll be back with us soon, hopefully, and we're pulling for you, Matt. Keep your chin up, and everything will be fine, hopefully, soon.
Yeah.
And with that...
Slowly improving, but yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, Scott.
And with that, sorry to bring the show down, but I wanted to mention it and get it out there. Everybody on Satellite Guys like family, so we like taking care of them, so...
Oh, yeah.
So, over the weekend, I wired in my outdoor studio, so no longer on Wi-Fi, so hopefully we're sounding better tonight.
Is that fiber? Fiber?
No fiber.
Ah!
We got gigabit. That's good enough.
Gigabit fiber would be even better. What if it's like
No petabits. No petabits, sir, Dave.
Yeah. Well, is that all done now, Scott?
That's all done. And so my upstream is about 9 megabit. If there's any problems now, blame Skype.
Yeah.
So who's your cable company? Who do you have that through?
I got Cox.
Cox, okay. So are you running on 3.0 than I assume if you're.
Yeah. I got 30 megabit down, and it's supposed to be 2 up, but for some reason I got 9 up.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, nice. That's especially nice for your Sling box.
Oh, yeah. Yep. At work, when I watch it at work, I'm getting a good 5 megabit connection. Easy.
Wow.
Oh, so that's like almost full quality on the Sling box, then, isn't it?
It's pretty much just full quality, yeah.
Yeah. Can't beat that. What do you? Just out of curiosity, what kind of power do you have running out there? Because if you got a hot tub, I mean, you got to have 220 running out there. Or?
Oh yeah, we got 220 coming out here. We got a 220 and 110, of course. They rent it from the house to this where the hot tub is, and then this little room over here, which is the theater. It's got its own separate circuit breakers and everything. And inside, we had to update the circuit breakers for the house to, I think it's 200 amp service. Because we only had like 100 amp service before.
Gotcha.
And
I wonder if that's possible to backfeed your generator through the gazebo there back into the house, and you could keep your generator out there.
I probably could, but I don't really want to. I don't want to plug it.
I wouldn't either.
Nope, I bought a generator for the big storm last year. We didn't even lose power. So now I just go out once a month, start it up, leave it running for about 5 minutes, and then shut it down again.
Very good idea.
Just to make sure it kicks over.
Yeah, let it sit there for a while, and then all of a sudden
start leaking oil.
You need it and it don't work.
Yep, don't want that to happen.
Nope.
For the last storm, we went all out. They said it was going to be terrible, and we're going to be out of power for weeks. And my wife was hemming and hawing about me buying a generator, and I said, too bad, I'm going to buy one. And then finally, like the day before the big storm hit, she's like, I think it's a good idea you got the generator now.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, you think it's a good idea? Yeah. Oh, they say it's going to be really bad now. She didn't believe me the rest of the time. And then after the storm was done, it's like, you idiot, I told you not to get the generator. We didn't even lose power. I can't win. You can't win.
You can never win. So what else is going on up there in Connecticut? Is it hot up there? It's about 93 here in Kentucky. It's just miserable.
I wouldn't say it's hot. It's about 72 right now. But this next 2 days, we're going to have they're predicting another 4 inches of rain tomorrow and another 3 inches of rain on Friday. So another 7 inches of rain in 2 days. I think the guy across the street, I think his name's Noah, is building something in his backyard. Not quite sure what it is, though.
Hey, by the way, on your weather station, how many inches of rain will that measure? Like, does it, like, after it gets to a certain point, does it, like, release it and keep count of that, or how does that work?
No, it's...
If you get that many.
A tenth of an inch at a time it takes in. There's two little scoops in there. And when one scoop gets full, it dumps, and the other scoop goes up in the air, and then that one fills up and goes up in the air, and it goes down. And every time it dumps, it just drops it out the bottom of the bucket.
So it Okay, so if you really got like 4 inches, then you would actually know.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, sweet.
I think
it'll
be spinning.
It was funny because last week we had 4.5 inches here in Connecticut last week. And it was funny on the digital display that comes with the weather unit. It tells you the forecast, and the forecast just said it's raining cats and dogs. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Did you get my email that I sent to you via satellite, guys?
Well, when?
Last Saturday, I believe it was Saturday morning or Saturday.
Maybe not. As you know, I was outside working, getting ready for the...
Right. Oh, yeah, I know. I just didn't know.
And I get tons of stuff, and my wife went through my emails and told me about the important ones, and maybe she didn't tell me about yours.
She hit spam, Michael, sorry.
I wasn't important enough.
She usually lets me know about the important ones because she reads through my mail just to make sure there's nothing out of whack because she's in the house and I was outside working all weekend. We did have the guy come yesterday for the inspection of the air conditioners and the electrical system, and then we had the appraisal on Monday morning. And hopefully tomorrow I will know what the appraisal came back at.
I was going to ask you how.
That's pretty
cool. I mean, not exact figures, but how it's good or bad.
Hopefully good. And the guy was like shocked when he walked back here and saw all the improvements we made and said, you know, the town website didn't have any of this stuff listed. And he was back here measuring and got his tape measure going. And he's like, oh, this is great. Look at this. And who did this for you? And, you know, he's asking me all these questions. So I think he was impressed with the work that was done. And hopefully that added some value to the house because I spent a lot of money on it.
Oh, I bet so.
But instead of going on vacations this year and going on cruises and wasting money and stuff like that, we said, we got this house and we've got everything we want in it. Why don't we start fixing it up and taking care of it and staying home and enjoying what we got? And that's what caused us to do all this remodeling here. And as I said last week, I want to remodel my kitchen now because it's only a little small galley kitchen, and we can't even fit a full-size refrigerator in there. So that's why we're refinancing the house, besides the cut in half of our interest rate, which is a great thing. So we'll get some money out of it and be able to do the kitchen as well, and I'm really looking forward to that because I hate my kitchen. It's the worst room of the house.
I refied my mortgage a couple months ago. It's definitely worth it. No question about that. So what is this I see? Is DirecTV canceling, or not DirecTV, but I guess, are they only the people that carried ESPN 3D? Is that going away?
ESPN 3D is going off the air by the end of the year. That was confirmed by ESPN today. I know I got a lot of flack last year when I posted in one of the forums here in Satellite Guys that ESPN 3D was going away. Because last year, right before CES, and I'm talking last year 2012, not this year's CES, but last year's CES, right before that, I was told by my neighbor, who's a producer, director for SportsCenter, he told me that ESPN decided to can ESPN 3D, and it was going to be off the air by July 4th of last year. And that did not happen. But now it is official that ESPN is canning ESPN 3D, and it will be going away by the end of the year. It was carried by DirecTV, AT&T UVerse, Comcast, and a number of other smaller cable systems. But the adoption rate was not that great. And they're kind of blaming the technology, but I don't really buy that, because other than DirecTV, all the other cable systems charge extra for ESPN 3D, something ridiculous like $9 to $11 a month. It wasn't worth paying that much for one channel. So that had something to do with its demise. But me personally, you know, I have how many 3D sets I have now? I've got three 3D sets in the house. And I rarely ever watched ESPN 3D because I'm not a sports nut. But by the same regard, I have watched a number of 3D movies that have been on pay-per-view, and they've been enjoyable. You know, if I'm coming home to watch a game at night, I'm not going home and saying, I can't wait to go home and put my glasses on and watch a game in 3D. But if I want to sit and watch a movie with the kids, a 3D movie is the way to go, and it makes it fun and enjoyable. But as far as watching tonight's ball game, it's a novelty more than anything. And it's just like going to the movies and seeing it. It's not something you want to watch TV like 24 hours a day, especially wearing the glasses. The Vizio TV outside that we have over the hot tub, that one doesn't use the shutter glasses. That uses the standard polarized glasses like you do in a movie theater. And watching 3D on that television is a lot more enjoyable for me. It doesn't give me the headaches or the nauseous feeling that you get sometimes. Because you got these other glasses that are flickering in front of your eyeballs that you're not supposed to see, but for some reason everybody can see it. And, you know, so the passive scan that we have outside is, you know, much better technology than the big glasses that require batteries and cost $100 a pair.
I just wonder how long 3Net is going to be around. I think, isn't that the name of the other 3D channel?
Yeah, 3Net
channel
is the Discovery Channel, Sony, and there's one more company involved with that. And personally, I don't understand why it's still on the air. If you've watched it,
I've never seen it.
You've seen everything they have on it. I think they have like one or two new programs a month, and that's been about it.
Yep.
So then that's like a loop. It's like watching Boom.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's the story there on ESPN 3D. It did not surprise me whatsoever to see it go. And, you know, the neighbor's been keeping abreast of it, and I haven't been posting it online just because, you know, I posted it last time, and people were giving me flack saying I was a liar and making stuff up, and I hate 3D. No, folks, if I hated 3D, I wouldn't have three 3D sets in my house.
Right.
Okay, I'm just passing along what I get told by people. And right. Along the lines, he's been telling me that, you know, looking at the schedule coming up, we have no 3D shoot scheduled for this month, and this month. And, you know, the future doesn't look too bright for the 3D channel and, you know, stuff like that. I've been hearing that for the past couple of months, and now it's coming to fruition. And no more ESPN 3D after this year.
I just wonder if it's how it's going to all play out with 3D. If it, you know the whole thing, not just ESPN, but everything. If it's going to be a novelty thing like 8-tracks and come and go like 8-tracks, or is it actually going to develop better? Or, you know, I keep wondering that myself, how that's going to go.
I'm with Scott. I think it's just movies.
Yeah, the entire thing with 3D was that the TV industry came out with these HD TVs, and then the prices dropped out on them.
Right.
And everybody bought new TVs, so the TV industry said, we have to come out with some new TV that people have to buy.
Yep, exactly.
And 3D was the next thing. Now, growing up as a kid, I remember, you know, going down to the local store or on the cover of TV Guide, you had to rip out your own pair of 3D glasses and you can watch 3D TV shows, the red and blue glasses.
Yep.
And the 3D, when I was a kid, I remember much more vibrant, vivid, and in-your-face than the 3D we have now. I remember the old paper yo-yo thing where the guy was standing in there and you looked like you were going to hit your face with the thing. I've never seen that on a new 3D technology. You've got depth and field of view, but nothing ever in your face where you stuck your hand out trying to feel the thing. And I was always wondering why we needed these new glasses when what we had before worked and worked so well.
Yeah.
So now the big catchphrases will be 4K TVs.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be like all over again, the HD... the HD gold rush, you know, when HD first started and you're going to have one provider with one channel and everybody going to say, oh, this provider's the best because they carry one channel. And then 4 months down the road, they're going to say, this provider sucks because they're not providing any more channels. I think I'm going to switch to provider B who now has three channels.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other provider's going to come back and say, well, we have six channels now.
Yep.
And just like the HD started on Dish, DirecTV, and even cable.
Oh, yeah.
And cable, I think, this time will beat the satellite companies to the game.
More bandwidth.
Because they really lost the HD race with the satellite companies for the big HD drive when it first started. I remember calling up the cable company and saying, hey, do you have any HD? Do you have any HD TV? And if the kid answered back to me on the phone, he goes, oh, yes, we carry HD TV. I said, no, not Home and Garden Television. Oh, no, we don't have any of that yet. You know, and besides, nobody owns any of those TV sets yet. I said, really? I got two of them sitting here.
Yep.
You do? Yes. What do you watch out of?
You must be really rich or something. Okay.
That's the fun time. So I see that coming down the line again. But the bandwidth, I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue. And I've already seen some signs of it from Joe Kane, and it looks like we're going to have some good compression technologies out there that will fit a 4K channel space into the size of one HD channel. And when I say one HD channel, one uncompressed HD channel on a satellite transponder. So if you remember when Dish first got HD, they could only fit one HD on a transponder.
Yep.
And then they improved things and they got two on one transponder.
Yeah, it was around 2006, I believe.
They added 8 PSK. And with the 8 PSK, they got, I think it was 4 or 5 on one transponder.
I think it was 6, wasn't it? Maybe I'm remembering wrong.
I don't know if it was as high as 6, but now you got MPEG-4.
They could do 6 at one time, but yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Now you got an MPEG-4, and you got, I think, 7 or 8.
Maybe you know, it was name like that.
And, you know, it progresses along, and you're going to see the same exact thing happen for 4K. There's no doubt in my mind about it. The technology is moving along. The compression is just getting better and better and better. He was telling me about some new technology called MHEG-5. Not MPEG, but MHEG-5. M-H-E-G-E. And it's supposed to basically take that big, huge 4K channel and shrink it down to the size of one regular HD channel and actually fit it into 6 megahertz of spectrum.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the H265, or is that something beyond that?
That's something beyond that. MHEG is what I
believe.
Yeah,
it's H. Yeah, MHEG.
Oh, yeah, I got that. That's the first time I heard of that, or I skimmed past it and didn't pick it up on it.
Right, right. So that's, you know, that's what we're going for, and it's only going to get better.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually.
I just hope they have content. That's my biggest
yeah,
concern.
Yeah. I was actually in a store here in Connecticut, and they actually had a Sony 60-inch 4K 2160p display going, and actually it was showing 2160p content, and they couldn't explain to me how it was getting content on the screen because there's no players yet that I know of. I asked them if it was coming off the computer, how, you know, but the video resolution on it was amazing. They were showing a baseball game, and you could see every blade of grass. And then you got like a close-up of the pitcher's face getting ready to throw the ball, and you can see every bead of sweat coming down his face. And a beautiful thing, but totally useless at the moment because there's nothing to watch on it at all. So,
how much was that, about $25,000?
No, I think it was like $11,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. They dropped them a little bit. I was reading the bill, you know. It's like HDs were, they, you know, when they first came out.
Right. You know, it was funny. When HD first came out, all these people were saying, oh, it's a super, super duper thing and you're going to need a special screen.
Yeah.
I actually went out with a GI 40 TV unit with the HD sidecar. And I got a computer monitor. I think it was a 19-inch computer monitor. Plugged it in there. And I was watching HD TV without an HD monitor and saying, look. You don't really need anything special for it. It's just
that's the first way I watched it.
Yeah,
first time you know, that's exactly the way I did it first time.
And everybody couldn't believe that I was watching it on a computer monitor. I'm like, hey guys, a computer monitor is actually higher resolution than HDTV.
Yep, always has been.
And they didn't get that. It was weird. So,
yeah, even CRT monitor, you know, was better, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So things have changed and. I think we'll see history repeat itself as far as the HD goes and the 4K goes. We're going to see the same exact things happen. You're going to see a channel here and there. Probably ESPN is going to be the first one to broadcast in 4K. I'm basing that on what I know from the neighbor next door and from going there and seeing the construction they're doing on their new digital studios that they're making 4K compatible. So, interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah, it always is. That's why I love technology when it changes and just, you know, 10, 15 years from now, Scott, we'll be talking about 8K coming out or whatever, you know, and it's always going to keep improving.
You know, that's one thing that Joe Kane is saying. He's saying 8K is actually available now, and why are we wasting time with 4K when we should be jumping right into 8K?
It's money racket. If 4K in, everybody buy those, and oh, wait a minute, now you got to buy the 8K for sell more TVs.
Because NHK in Japan is actually transmitting 8K video now.
Yeah. Who is?
NHK in Japan.
Yeah, I did see that. I watched the video on it.
And you know, Joe makes a good point. Why go with 4K if 8K is available? Just one of those odd questions, but I guess the real answer is follow the money trail.
Yep.
And that's what we got
that's
there.
That's really what it boils down to. I mean, just being honest, that's what it is.
So that uses the H265 codec for the 8K.
I don't know what codec they're using for it, but
that's what it says. I'm reading the little thing.
Okay.
H265. That's crazy. I wonder how much that camera costs. 120 hertz too.
It's got to look good. That's all I could say.
Yeah, that's so much. 4K is so much better for ESPN than ESPN 3D. Cancel the 3D like they did and get the 4K is way better, if you ask me.
You know, what ESPN really needs to do is they need to bump their signal up to 1080i from 720p.
and mandate that all providers carry it at the same bit rate.
Well, not that, but one of the big problems that we see on ESPN, and if you watch ESPN all the time, you'll notice it, that you'll watch a game one day and it'll be crystal clear perfect.
Yep.
And then you're watching the same team later on playing at a different place, and the picture quality sucks. And you may ask yourself, why? Because it's still ESPN HD. The real reason is because the trucks out there are set up for 1080i or 720p. And most of the trucks out there are set up now for 1080i. So when they're out in the field, they're sending a 1080i signal back to Bristol, and then ESPN has to down-convert that signal to 720p, and that down-conversion there is where you lose a lot of the video quality, and that's why the picture looks like crap. I've actually seen video standing in ESPN side-by-side what was coming to them and what they were broadcasting out after it was down-converted. And let me tell you, there's a lot of loss there.
Hmm.
And it's just whatever truck's available to them at the time. They never know what they're going to get.
And they charge such a premium, you would think they would do 1080.
It's whatever's available. And another weird thing about ESPN is now they're not sending a lot of the commentators out to the games.
Oh, really? Are they sitting remotely, I guess?
They're sitting in Bristol in a room. Well, they figure now, what's why spend the money flying these guys all over the place when we can put them in a room and they can call the game just as well. We don't have to pay for airfare. We don't have to pay for hotels. We don't have to pay for food. We don't have, you know, you come in and then you go home at night. And some interesting stuff there. In fact, one of my coworkers at my job, he's actually hired by ESPN to be a soccer announcer for the World Cup.
Oh, really?
And he is getting geared up. I guess most of his commentary will be doing directly from Bristol. They're going to be sending him down to film stuff to make it look like they're there.
Yeah.
You know, openings and stuff like that. But the rest of the time, they'll be sitting in the truck, sitting in ESPN in Bristol.
Huh. And so I guess they're just going to shoot him back a video feed and let him do it all there.
Right, right. So
I could see how, like, some that might get a little messed up with, like, breakaway plays or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but a lot of it happened. It's been happening for a while now.
Yeah, the radio stations do that a lot now too, where they'll have, you know, one DJ and broadcast them out in, you know, several cities. I know they did that in Louisville recently.
Yeah, so that
saves a lot of money, I guess.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. And in fact, ESPN just had a massive layoff over here in Bristol. They laid off like 400 people.
Did they really?
Yep, because they're trying to show the cable companies and satellite companies that they're trying to get their costs under control. That's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah, and their real costs and what they pay people to be able to have the right to broadcast their stuff.
Right, right. So they're looking at cutting costs and saying, okay, we're cutting back here, we're cutting back here. We're trying our best, you know, work with us. And that's the real reason for layoffs that I'm told, is that they're trying to make it look better for the companies negotiating with, and the big one is Dish.
When's their contract expire?
September.
Oh, really? So they might actually maybe add, did they drop ABC Family HD, and was it ESPNU HD?
They never had ESPNU in HD. They had ESPN News, they had they had ESPN2, which I think they still carry in HD. They had Family Channel. They had Disney Channel. They had Toon Disney. They had, I think it's five or six channels from Disney, ABC, that they dropped.
Now, didn't Dish sue them or vice versa? And Dish lost that, though, didn't they?
I do believe Dish lost that one, yeah. And it's going through currently appeals and all the other fun stuff, but hopefully that gets resolved. Dish and Disney had a big presentation together, I guess, a team summit. And this year, Disney was a major sponsor of Dish's team summit, which shows me that Disney really wants to work with Dish, and they want to reach a deal.
Yeah, because, I think they will.
Because Dish is their third largest customer. If they lose Dish, you know, that's major. That's billions a month. I'm not saying millions. I'm saying billions. a month.
Oh, so you're thinking Charlie might get crazy and just say pull all ESPN Sweden channels?
That's what he's been threatening.
Interesting.
And even if they pull him for a month, that devastates ESPN. That devastates Disney.
Oh yeah, just like Viacom's earnings got smashed with the DirecTV dispute.
Yep, and that's hopefully a valuable lesson for the program providers, saying, you know, we're not going to play these games anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be a middle of the road somewhere.
Yeah, always.
Dish drops channels and you don't see your bill going down, so they're making out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only one who really gets hurt in these big fights are the consumers who pay their bills on time.
That's right.
You know, personally me, I hate it when Dish drops a channel and they say, oh, because we dropped this channel, we're going to give you channel such and such for free.
Yeah, okay. Last time they did, they gave me two free pay-per-view tickets.
I said, you're giving me two channels for free that I already paid for? Gee, thanks.
Yeah.
They changed the channel number for you, though, so it's free now.
Well, that was funny for AMC. They kept bouncing everything around, and HDNet and HDNet movies and all those things there, they were... What a mess.
You know, that's interesting. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that could be another prime example of a company that might just end up disappearing as Mark Cuban and the pioneer of HDNet.
I think Mark Cuban made a huge mistake when he turned HDNet into Access TV. I used to watch HDNet all the time, like the Hogan's Heroes. I love the Art Man show. And some of the other shows after that were all great. Always DVR'd them, and they're fun to watch. And he had some great programming on HDNet, and now it's just all music. And most of the music are, you know, independent bands that you never heard of before, which is not my thing. So my viewing of his channels went down a lot when he switched it over from HDNet to Access TV. And I think that was a big mistake on his part.
I wonder if he's just riding out carriage agreements right now, just collecting in... you know, some money and lowered his programming costs or something.
I don't know. I don't know what he intends to do. I know it's his pride and joy, besides the Mavericks. I haven't heard from him in a while. He used to call me from time to time. And he's an interesting fellow. in fact, he was on Satellite Guys and posted that it was him. And then he got so many PMs that he stopped using that account and started using another. And he is actually online, I would say, a couple times a week. But I'm not going to give up his username.
Right.
I thought he was crazy when he went online and says, "Hi, it's me, Mark Cuban. Does anybody have any questions for me?" And it was like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Guess what? Bam.
It was like people asking him for free tickets to Mavericks games and this, that, and the other thing. It was like, oh, Jesus. I said, like, I think you made a mistake. He goes, yeah, I think I did too. He goes, I think I'm using a different account now.
He's got that one cool show, Shark Tank. That's a pretty cool show.
Yeah, I enjoy watching that one. I enjoy watching it.
And then it's something different on up in Canada, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's the exact same show with a few different people.
Oh, it's God, Back Bacon Tank.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what it is. No, it is something. Hold on, let me think about it. I think it is something tank up there, too. I don't know. So are you saying the Canadians like bacon then, Scott?
Canadians love their bacon.
But it's ham, though, really? And when you get Canadian bacon, it's ham?
It is ham, yes. It's what we consider here ham.
Oh, hey, by the way, I got to ask you, this is kind of unrelated to satellite stuff, it's food related. Have you been to this little restaurant up there in Connecticut that makes hamburgers from like the 18, they use these grills from like 1880. It's a little red building. I think it's
you're talking about Ted's?
Steve yeah, if you ask place? For catch, if you ask for ketchup, they'll kick you out.
No, I haven't eaten there, but I've driven by it numerous times. And
I heard it's awesome.
I've had steamed cheeseburgers before, and I never really liked the taste of them because it tastes like you're eating a raw hamburger. And I'm kind of a medium well type of guy. So I never stopped, and Then they also got Louie's Lunch in New Haven, which is the birthplace of the hamburger. Considered the birthplace, anyways. And haven't eaten there either. Everybody says Louie's hamburgers are to die for, though. So one of these days, I got to get up there and try it.
When I used to live in Fairfield, we used to go to Raleigh's. Well, I mean, that place is awesome for the hot dogs.
Oh, one other interesting news tidbit. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to it, but the entire Dish Sprint saga is getting really, really interesting now.
Yes, it is.
Sprint has given Dish to the 18th to come up with a different offer since SoftBank has increased their offer for Sprint. But if you look at their offer, it's not really that good for the shareholders. In fact, the shareholders will be getting less money than if they took the original SoftBank offer. So I don't know if the shareholders are going to be too happy about that. But the interesting part of it today came out that who's the other guys there? Clearwire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The board of directors has said that the deal between Dish and Clearwire, they liked it, and they want the shareholders to approve that deal, which would give Dish control of Clearwire, who Sprint is trying to buy.
Right.
Now, if Dish gets Clearwire, that brings down the value of Sprint by a great deal and may cause the other guys to drop their bid for Sprint. It gets even more interesting when yesterday it came out that it was talked that Sprint and Dish has stopped talking to each other. And they stopped talking to each other because Sprint wants a $3 billion breakup fee in case the government does not give them permission to merge with Dish. And Dish only wants to give them a $1 billion breakup fee.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds like a woman and a man.
Now, I can understand it from Sprint's side because right now they have full government approval to merge with SoftBank.
Now, oh, yeah.
If they merge with Dish, that entire timer starts all over again, so Sprint will be in limbo for up to another year while the entire regulatory approval process starts over again. So I can see why they're hesitant about going with Dish and being tied up for another year and would want $3 billion. But Charlie's not willing to gamble and say, yeah, I'll give you $3 billion if the deal does not go through. So now with this new thing coming out today with Clearwire, and Clearwire saying that the Dish deal for Clearwire is a better deal than the Sprint deal, it really can throw the entire merger with SoftBank up in the air. I mean, SoftBank maybe just take the money, okay, we're done with you guys and we're going to go after T-Mobile now. Because if Dish buys Clearwire, that's a large portion of Spectrum that Sprint no longer has access to, and it makes Sprint a lot less valuable company, and especially considering that Dish owns so much Spectrum that they are not using at the moment. It's just a big thing there.
My thing that I'm afraid of is Charlie gets the other half of Clear, Sprint owns the other half, and then they do nothing, and then Charlie owns all the Spectrum and nothing happens with it. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And in the next week, we should know what's really going on.
But they signed a contract with Intellis, and they're one of Sprint's largest roaming partners. So he's going to wiggle his way in there some way or another, I have a feeling.
Yeah, Charlie's good at that. What Charlie wants, Charlie ultimately gets. Look at the deal he made with Rupert Murdoch a long time ago, which gave him access to 110 and 119. And those transponders there. I mean, he's a valuable poker player, and he knows what he's doing. You may not make sense to you what he's doing, but when you look at the big picture, it's kind of like, oh, my God, what a great plan this guy had.
Mm-hmm. Something that's interesting, has anybody noticed, I could be wrong about this, like on, I don't know if it's 110, 119, or there's like all Dish transponders and there'll be like one DirecTV transponder.
For most of 110, I think, is now all back to Dish again. I think DirecTV gave up those transponders to Dish.
Did they in exchange for something, I wonder, or?
No, it was because it was too costly for them to modify their equipment and put in dishes with LNBs for only being able to transmit 16 channels or something like that. You know, it
yeah.
wasn't worth it.
Yeah, it was like one transponder, I think, wasn't it, or just a couple?
Yeah, yep. And let's see here.
I'm going to hit the button here and we'll give out the number real quick.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUYS or 877-728-4897.
Now, right before the show started tonight, I got an email from Mr. Bob Cooper. Yes, the legendary Coop. And we just posted two new videos to the free-to-air section. Go and check them out. It's called The Strange and Wonderful World of TVRO. And Bob just sent them over to us tonight, and they're really interesting. The first one's kind of like a history of TVRO, and the quality on these is fantastic because they actually come from the masters, the original masters of these shows. And the second one of them is a interesting show, sort of like Bob took an offer he could not refuse and sold his Coop's Digest to a different company. And it gets really interesting, and you'll see what I mean in this video, the second video with Bob Cooper. And what an incredible time he had, an incredible journey. And really, 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 you can see his influence on the industry and what he did to get it, to make it legal for us people here in the United States to have legal home satellite reception. Some good stuff there from Bob Cooper, so check them out.
I wish I'd been there for that. I'd have been older, you know. I was so young then.
What is that?
What is what?
Oh, nothing. Never mind. I started cutting out my speakers. I'm like, what's going on here? Okay. Sorry. I think we have a caller though. Is it Dan?
It's Dan.
Let's see here.
You got
hey, Dan.
You? There he is.
Hi there. Hi there, guys.
Hey, Dan.
What's up, Dan?
Hey. Oh, not much. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing good. Doing good.
Is this, other than Wally and Mike, who's, is it Scott or Brian?
Oh, it's Scott.
Scott? Okay. All right, well, I caught you halfway through what you were talking about, so I didn't know if it was Scott or Brian, so...
No, just me, just reporting on what's happened since Friday. By the way, since Friday, we've only had one person sign up for the free web space that we mentioned on the air last week. And if you missed it, then you got to go back and listen to last week's replay and find out what I talked about, because I haven't announced it yet to the general public. In fact, the only person who signed up is Dave. Can anybody hear Dave?
Dave, what happened to you again?
I'm not there. Dave just walked off.
I can hear him very, very weakly.
Yeah, we had
he
that problem before. So.
Charlie must be interfering. He has Sprint. You know, come on. No, I'm trying to make a bad joke. You know, Sprint.
I think he's trying to do a Verizon commercial. I heard, can you hear me now in the background? Really, really
we had this problem right before the show went live, Scott. I don't know. And he was having issues, and he did something to get it going again.
Wiggle
said, really,
table.
Am I bad? And I said, yeah, you're bad. And he says, really? And I said, yeah. He said, you think it's you? I said, oh, it ain't me. You sure ain't you? I said, no, it ain't me. It's you. And then he said, oh, crap. And then he goes, okay. I say, oh, yeah, now you sound good. So I don't know what he's doing. Do it again,
Dave. Do I sound better now?
Well, you sound like you're holding your nose, but you sound better now, yeah.
Yeah, you're getting there.
I don't know what's going on. I've got this microphone.
Well, you're trying to sound a little French there.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. That's funny.
We lost you again, Dave.
I'm calling in on the landline.
don't hang up on your Skype line, though.
No, don't. Yeah, don't do that.
If you do that, you're gonna end the show.
Oh no, yeah. I won't do that. I don't know what.
Hey guys, I got.
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I got a good question to ask. I'm trying to work on a project on the back porch for my apartment complex, and I got a 1 meter, Scott. You saw, and Mike and Dave have already seen it. The new dish I got, the one that says data transmission network on it.
Yeah.
The I'm trying to build. I have an idea. Another one. Trying to build a cover for it. Trying to put it in like a box so it could be like an have a flower box on top.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't look that bad because my apartment is facing the road, and my apartment manager will have a fit if I put a dish out there on the back porch. So I'm trying to get his bands at 30 West. That's the one that I want.
Right.
And if I put a cover over the top, would that really put it in a metal box?
It would definitely block the signal. There's only certain materials that satellite signals do travel through. I do remember a company a couple of years ago sold these big rocks that you could put over your dish, and it was made out of material that was invisible, so that way the satellite signals can get through. If we have any listeners out there who know more about this, give us a call and let us know about this. But it is only certain fabrics that will let the satellite signal get through without blocking it.
Well, I was going to have one, the sign facing the satellite, towards his band set, have that open, have like a black, say, trash bag over that side, so it would go through with no problem. But
if you didn't use a metal box around it, I mean, you could, but you're going to make sure it's tall enough or whatever, enough to, you know, because, you know, if it's an offset dish, you know, where you're pointing at, you know, you're not really, when you got lined up onto a satellite, it's actually the satellite signal's coming a little bit higher than what you're seeing, what you think it looks like it's coming in. So you don't make sure, I mean, you could do the metal, but you got to make sure it's big enough, you know, leaves that cushion in there so it don't block it. But, like Scott said, I recommend something, you know, plastic or whatever to, so you
know. Well, I mean, if I put a giant rock in the back porch, people are going to really notice that.
Yeah.
It's like trying to put a cover over the elephant in the room.
What happened to your whiskey barrel idea? Did you ever?
Well, it's too small. There's not enough whiskey barrels out there that I can put without going over like $200-$300 and paying shipping and freight and all this costing way more than I want to spend.
Hey, Dan. Wow. Dan, when you order whiskey barrels, it's supposed to be empty.
Yeah. Go to Tractor Supply or Home Depot or Lowe's. They sell them empty little half barrels already cut for you. They're a lot cheaper.
Well, I think
he's ordering full
barrels
and trying to drink them all. That's the problem.
No. Oh, no. Well, it seemed like it had the alcohol in it because it's like $60-$70 at least for freight. And I was like, you're kidding me.
They sell them around here, and I live in a small town at two different places that you can buy them, you know, without, you know, paying all that freight. You just go and I think they're like $30 or something.
Yeah, well, those are only up
you know,
maybe
flowers and whatever in your yard, but you can use them for whatever.
Well, if you looked at the measurements, they're only like 25 inches wide.
Right.
You're going to, well, it fits an 18-inch dish perfect.
All right, you buy two of them, then you make one big one out of two small ones.
And you get a third one, it could look like Donkey Kong standing on your porch.
and then get a flag and be all set, man.
Yeah, it's kind of, I still think the whiskey barrel is a good idea, but you have to have a big one for it. You can't just, and then I found this 1 meter for free, so it's kind of, I was like, oh, great. Now I'm stuck with
the
fan.
Service that Dan has that dish from. And, man, that thing's expensive. It's like, I want to say $150 a month, and you get the weather. It's like for farmers, and you can get, reports of what corn's selling for other commodities. But it's really expensive. It's like $150 a month.
Right.
But I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, it makes money. It makes money for the farmer, so I guess it's worth it overall. In fact, the weather station my wife got me for my birthday, which is a Davis Vantage Pro 2 Plus unit. There's actually a service I can subscribe to, and it will tell me when to plant stuff and when not to plant stuff, and it will give us all that information there.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's a piece of software that analyzes it and tells you when to plant, when not to plant. And then they also got another piece of software. So if you are into wine, it lets you know when to pick the grapes and the best time for grapes and different types of wines, if what kind of wine you're making, what type of grape. The humidity outside is up to a certain point. The grapes should be up to this point. Now you pick them today and make your it will tell you exactly when to make your wine. It's pretty neat.
Hmm. Wow. I bet that's more pretty popular out in California, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. So this weather station can do a lot.
And that's the Davis. What is it? Is it Davis?
Yep, Davis Vantage Pro. Two words.
Vantage Pro.
Number two, and then plus, PLUS.
Oh, also, hey guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also still using my mortar tube with the slimline dish out there on the back porch. And I'm using the Super Dish mod to it. And
yeah.
And I can only pick up about 20 to 30, about 20 some channels on Hispansat, and I still can't get like KTV. I used to be able to get the State of Kuwait TV on there and a few others, but I've lost almost all of them except for the 20 channels I can still get. So, is it with the LNB or the size dish?
Well, it could be, and it could be the...
It could be both.
Well, it could be the satellite, too. You know, I mean, they're not really... They could be changing their power or what. I mean, I don't know, but... You know, they're not really designing it, sending it for us anyway, you know, or whatever. And for that size of the dish, they could be changing their power levels. I've not got a dish on 30 West right now, so I can't really tell you if I notice any difference.
I think a lot of people haven't experienced problems with reels on 91. Anybody? I haven't experienced any problems, but anybody else?
No.
I haven't played with my C-band dish since I've been doing all this work around the house.
I don't get 91 on C-band unless it's just maybe a one channel or two on my micro, bud. But no.
As you don't get the reels or... Used to you could anyway. Used to get reels on a tinfoil hat.
That's an S2 signal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I got another thing. I got a couple more things to tell you guys what I'm working on. I found out this with the Micro HD. I used the Micro Bud for 99 C band. I can't get the GDMX feed. When you scan 99 West C band, it won't pick it up. It won't come up on detailed blind scan. I went over to 107.3. I didn't move the dish. It still stayed at 99. And I went and blind scanned 107, and all of a sudden it just came up GDMX feed, and it came right in. It had the same number what is over there, and I didn't have to. I thought it was kind of strange.
Yeah, it sounds strange.
I had to go over to the next, like a few satellites over, to go and get it on the receiver, but I didn't have to move the dish.
My understanding is a blind scan scans all the frequencies, and no matter what bird it's on. So
yeah, I could point it at the dish point 91 West and. Go in the menu and scan 133 West, and it's going to show what's on 91 West, because, you know, the receiver, it's a dumb blind scan, I don't know. It's just going to pick them up, so. You just happen to get lucky the second time around, really.
I'm kind of surprised that they still have standard definition versions of the GDMX channels. You'd think everything would be feeding off an HD.
No, they got both of them, and they still, I guess there must be some cable companies or something out there or something that hasn't switched over yet, because there's HD and SD both up there. So
yeah, I'm watching the standard def one right now, or not right at this moment, but at the house, I can I could watch the Anderson Cooper and all these other shows at TMZ and all these shows that come in, and it's kind of nice not watching them with through your local commercials.
Every time I look at the GDMX, it's TMZ or a judge show. Judge yeah. Judy, Judge Joe Brown.
Yeah, Anderson Cooper, Ellen DeGeneres, those were the other two. You guys still there?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I've not left the window. I usually leave a little bit of a padding, but we got 4 minutes, 23 seconds left, so just let everybody know. I usually leave an extra padding on the show, but for this show, I must schedule for 60 minutes exactly.
That's okay.
Well,
we got Mike and Ralph coming up at the top of the hour over at sattalk.us. You can tune in to Mike and Ralph over there and see what they got going on. Mike's awfully busy with the Canadian satellite stuff from Shaw, and he's always got some good information and updates, and I'm sure he'll have some stuff for us tonight as Shaw has started moving channels around up there now. So now it's going to be really, really crucial for people to know what can be received where in the United States and what cannot be received in the United States. So that will be coming from Mike Cole tonight over on sattalk.us, and that's at 9 p.m.
Yep.
Well, I got the I'll tell you one. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I wonder how much longer, because I know there's a lot involved in it, but when or if they'll, he can ever actually sell the mesh dishes he's wanting to start reselling.
He actually posted something today on Satellite Guys about that and gave us an update. And said he hoped to be shipping something by the end of the summer.
Yeah.
And
it's a crazy situation, and that's why it's been taking so long. It's a crazy behind the scenes situation that's going on there. It's wild.
Anything involving Jeff is going to be crazy behind the scenes.
yes. I can say that Mr. Mike is a very good peacemaker.
And you know what? I really want Mike to make a 10-foot mesh dish so I can buy one from him. I really do.
Now, I think the ones that they are going to have are going to be stamped, so it's not going to be a mesh. It's going to be a solid reflector.
I said it was going to be mesh, but, that was 3 or 4 months ago. I don't know.
I hope whatever it is, 10-foot, I want it. As long as it's not some piece of crap thing that bends when you blow on it. No Robbie specials, please.
Yeah. And I don't know if anybody else agrees, but what's better than a semi rolling up to your house with a satellite dish on it?
I don't like it because they leave it down at the bottom of my driveway and I carry it up the hill.
That's not fun. Well, that's what you get your son out there for, right?
That's the day he says he got homework and he's going to do it.
Hey, you get extra $1,500. You can call DH satellites up, man. They'll bring it to you. It's fun aluminum 10-foot dish,
Yeah, more like 35.
I'd like to come with a dish and put it up.
Got a half left.
Get it tracking right and leave.
What? Oh, yeah.
That's what I want.
Oh, I was going to tell you guys before you guys go off the air. Are you still here?
No, we left.
Yeah.
We're not here.
Oh, yeah. I'm working on a turbo, the Dish Network turbo dish, and I'm trying to – I know what you guys have said before. It's too small for free-to-air use. I'm trying to get 97 with it, so I painted the – I painted the dish jet black and flat black and going to put it under my micro bud so I can get 97.
You must have a huge deck.
Actually, I don't.
Where do you keep all these dishes, Dan?
You got all these dishes and whiskey barrels.
I have about 10 dishes in the I have 10 dishes in the shed. I have one dish in the van. I have one dish out on the pole. So I have about 10, maybe 12.
All right, guys, it's over.
So.
All righty, guys. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Excuse me, sir. The show's over.
Thank you, and good night.
Thanks to all that tuned in tonight. Join those crazy satellite guys, Michael and Dave, next week for another exciting episode of Satellite Nation.
Bye-bye. I want to see motion, movement. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay?
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
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 Hello?
Hello and bye-bye.
Yeah. That was me, by the way.